Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, week six tonight. Must have for the Giants, big one for Philly. Let's do it. A lot of hoops as well inside of our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. One of those shows, Tiki, get a chance to really bounce around. We'll get to the story with the former Adidas consultant that kind of made some waves yesterday that we didn't get a chance to really dive into. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. Jimmy Butler, looks like that's changing by the minute as well. We can start with a little Jimmy. What's happening, buddy?
Yeah, I was good, man. How was the anniversary last night? So good.
Good dinner, good eats. It was great. Food was great. Food was good. Wine was good. And the kids were asleep when mommy and daddy got
home. That's all that matters.
That's all we needed.
I had a fun night with Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, two good. They're awesome, man. Brandon still looks like he could play.
Yeah.
That's where he's like 6'6 and 255, 60 pounds, but solid as a rock.
Big boy.
Dude's awesome, man. He's coaching high school football now.
What state?
Down in Atlanta. He's down in Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
Yeah, he went down there about 5 or 6 years ago. He's doing great. But I saw this story, BT, about Jimmy Butler. We heard it as we were ending the show yesterday.
Yeah.
About him going off on his teammates in the first practice and how Tom Thibodeau is just kind of letting it happen, letting this emotional outburst just take place, and cussing at management, cussing at the GM, cussing at players, talking about how you need me, you can't blank and win without me type of situation. But then it's weird because for some reason, Rachel Nichols happens to be there, and he does a sit-down national interview.
They flew her in?
Right after practice.
Yep.
Almost like, hey, guys, come to practice. Watch, I'm going to do. It was almost like it was contrived in a
choreographed.
Sense. It seems choreographed.
By whom? By Jimmy?
By Jimmy or his group? Look, I'm not discounting Jimmy Butler's emotions, like his ire towards his teammates, and the fact that he feels like these guys are soft and don't want to play hard, don't want to have the commitment to winning. But there's a certain way you go about expressing yourself to your teammates, and that's not the way you do it. Like you're creating this. I don't know this
unnecessary energy going into the
season.
Yeah,
but it's funny. I was on the phone with Rondé last night, and we were talking about a bunch of things, including what's wrong with David Johnson out in Arizona because he's watching film. He's doing the Minnesota Arizona game this weekend, and you know, something came up about how guys fake enthusiasm, right? And, you know, John Gruden is famous for Reiner's coach. Like, if you don't have genuine enthusiasm, blank and fake it, right? But George Welsh, who was our college coach, would always say the opposite. He always say, enough with this fake enthusiasm, right? I almost feel like Jimmy Butler's throwing some fake enthusiasm out here to make a point. Now, to his circle,
enthusiasm or
whatever,
unhappiness,
whatever. Energy
doesn't seem very energy.
Energy, okay. Negativity. Right. It doesn't matter, you know, what the noun you use is, but it's just like loud and like boisterous. Like, look, let's. I'm making a point, right? It just it seems unnecessary.
Well, why would he do this?
That's what I can't figure out, BT. And it looks like he's going to end up playing the season, or at least the early part of the season with the Timberwolves.
Yeah. There's a report out there now. Shams, who was with The Athletic, was with Yahoo before that. He tweeted something out that they had a players-only meeting today. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. They actually had practice today, and Rachel asked Jimmy, he said, I'm going to show up tomorrow, meeting today.
Yeah.
They canceled practice. But as per Shams' last tweet, I don't know, 25 minutes or so ago, he said that Jimmy organized a players-only meeting, and that right now he's prepared to move forward. They aired their differences, and they're going to play basketball.
I don't get the end. right? What's the end?
What's his end game?
His end is he wants to be traded, obviously. But his coach doesn't want him traded. There's so much complexity to this, right? His coach is the one handling trade conversations, but his coach, talking about Tom Thibodeau, doesn't actually want him to be traded. He's trying to convince him to stay.
Now, Thibs got to start winning at some point.
That's why.
Been around for a couple of years now.
Doesn't want his energy guy to go and leave. I mean, maybe, it kind of makes me feel like Thibs agrees with Jimmy Butler.
Well, I think he's conflicted here because in terms of, you know, structuring and layering a team in terms of cohesion, he might know this might not work. But as a coach, he's like, I'll find a way to make it work because this guy's a two-way monster.
You're right.
You know, and he's, at least in theory, can maybe kickstart Karl Anthony Towns and get him to play a little harder and Wiggins with a little more passion. It really is a strange chapter in what is an amazing sport. I tweeted this out this morning. You know, nothing like the NBA drama. I mean, whether it's choreographed with Rachel, and I don't know, I don't think that it is.
I don't think so either.
But you never know.
But it was just too coincidental.
But it was fascinating to watch him, you know, espouse his views on the franchise while, you know, an hour after he walked into the gym, picked up three guys at the end of the bench.
Late, by the way.
Kicked everybody's ass and walked out. I mean, it's like, wow. It really is unique.
It is. Very
and it's
unique.
So unique, it almost makes you think that it's got to be choreographed,
yes,
to your point.
Exactly. But here's a question.
Crazy.
Do you think it's beneficial to the Timberwolves as a team? Is it beneficial to Cat, to Karl Anthony Towns?
It could be.
Is it beneficial to Andrew Wiggins? That's what I can't figure out. So, two questions. One, what's the end game? So why are you pursuing your grief, your gripe like this, Jimmy Butler? Because it doesn't make you look good. It's embarrassing to the franchise.
I don't think it's embarrassing. I think it makes him look like an old school, no nonsense. Yeah,
to come to practice 30 minutes late.
I think it's a badass move.
And of course, it's badass. And you know, in 20 years ago, when nobody's paying attention, it maybe has the desired effect.
Well, maybe this young generation needs that kind of a message sent here.
But it's not because
it seems like they're a little docile in that Timberwolves locker
room. But here's the thing, though, BT. We find out about it. Like us as media and fans, and we opine, and we take it down whatever, you know, road we want to take it down.
True.
And to pretend that locker room's not going to hear that.
Doesn't mean it can't inspire those guys.
Not from us specifically, but just national media, social media.
But does that mean it still can't inspire them?
No, but here's...
It could.
But maybe... So anything in the world can happen, right? Let's just keep it specific to the Timberwolves.
Go ahead.
This instance happens in the Timberwolves practice, right?
Uh-huh.
It is immediately interpreted multiple ways, right? This
True.
Is a good thing. It's motivating.
Galvanizing.
Galvanizing.
Yeah,
they're going to call Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins are going to stand up and say, "Hell, hell no.
Cohesion.
Let's go do this." Yeah. Or it's going to be like, Jimmy Butler's gone off the rails, man. This place is falling apart. Management has no idea how to control its talent. Mm-hmm. Thibodeau is allowing this to happen. This is embarrassing for the franchise and disrespectful to the organization and everything else.
Yep.
Like, you're going to get those different interpretations. They're both going to be blasted loudly, right?
Yeah.
One camp is going to say, this is awesome. They need this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Team's going to hear that. The other side's going to say, this is embarrassing and disrespectful. This place is in chaos. You know, burn it down. Get rid of everybody. Start over. They're going to hear that as well. And as young players, let's not forget, Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins they're under 25. They're 23, 24 years old, right?
Still
and so they're impressionable to perception.
Mm-hmm. They're still in the formative stage of becoming professionals.
Exactly. They're not Jimmy Butler, who can say all this stuff, get it interpreted however it's going to be interpreted, and be like, I don't care.
But they're not doing anything wrong. Like, whether or not they play with the integrity that Butler wants them to play, and based on his whole position, I deduce that they don't.
Oh, when you say they're soft?
Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean that they're getting wrapped up in the drama. Yeah, indirectly, they're thrown into the fire of analysis. And you're right, it could vary wildly. I believe that, it does seem a little combustible.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. You can't deflect that. Yeah, it seems unique. It seems messy. It seems... combustible, but they could start 9-2, and Jimmy says, "Hey, this is what I mean." And then all of a sudden, they go from here, and they become what a lot of us thought they could become.
Yep. Or
I don't view this as some permanent, this fatalistic. I think it's very fluid. And as long as Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns aren't throwing hammers on each other, you know, like throwing fists in the shower.
Yeah.
I think this could be a positive. I really do.
Mm.
I don't think this ruins. And listen, in terms of, you know, Scott Layden, who cares what people perceive of him? My perception of Scott Layden is a complete zero, because when he ran the Knicks, he was a zero. He doesn't matter with the Timberwolves now.
Well, what about Thibodeau? What about the head coach?
Thibodeau, Butler said something really interesting in the sit-down with Rachel that gives credence to the thought that, not that Thibs is complicit, but that he's on some psychological level okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, Thibs likes friction. Huh. He said, he laughed when he said, he looked right at the camera, looked at Rachel, and said, Thibs likes friction. Thibs likes, issues that can, and now I'm just kind of paraphrasing, mm-hmm. but if they're harnessed properly, can propel a team and can accelerate their gel, if you will. I think this is fine. I really do.
Then do you think it's okay that Jimmy Butler stays in Minnesota?
Because he held the team meeting. And
we don't know what happened in that team meeting, because it was just a few hours ago, correct?
True. But based on Sham's report,
mm-hmm.
who's like a mini Wojo, you know, he's good.
Yep.
He's not going to put that out there unless there is a positive vibe. And not that there's full resolution, but that it's beginning to trend in a positive direction.
Hmm.
I believe this will galvanize that team. Teak, I thought this team, they had a fight for the last game to get into the playoffs. This is not an 8 seed with one of the top two, I mean, Joel Embiid, and then Karl Anthony Towns, in terms
right.
of big men. I mean, there's not many of them.
You're right.
Then you have Wiggins, who's a scorer.
Yep.
You got a couple of other guys who are really good. You got Butler, who's a two-way veteran, old-school, throwback, tenacious star. You got a defensively principled coach who's pretty damn good in Thibodeau. I think that this team could be a 4 or 5 seed. I really do.
So now we're saying, we're speculating that Coach Thibodeau orchestrated this.
No,
in a sense,
not orchestration.
Or allowed it to happen.
Tacitly signed off on.
Signed off on this.
But tacitly. Because that's important that we factor in that word.
Yeah,
not like, hey, Jimmy, go do this. But when he realized what was happening, kind of gave Jimmy a little, I got you. Finish it. I hear you. I've seen this act before. Go ahead, Jimmy. Do what you got to do. That's what I believe.
I mean, it's hard not to, because it's just too convenient. The whole thing is way, way too convenient. Now, I just don't know if this is the right way to be a leader for these young guys. It's not necessarily the right thing to say, scream it as loud as I can,
uh-huh.
and then expect people to comply.
Might not be.
In my sense, the better way, especially for young guys, is to communicate it to them in a way that makes them want to follow you, as opposed to telling them why they're not. You know what I mean?
But I think he also shows them by his effort.
Course.
So it's not just blah, 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 and I'm going out there and I'm going to jog up and down the court. No, no, no. This is the way we need to play, guys. Now, listen, we're under no illusion mm-hmm. that even if everything gels and Jimmy's fine and they're healthy, they're not going to beat the Warriors, you know, all things considered even. They might not even be the Lakers or the Rockets. I think the Lakers are, you know, two tiers below those teams. But the Rockets and the Warriors at this point. But it doesn't mean that it's not right for the moment. My only concern is that, and I believe this, like, you're inherently either self-motivated. Like, there's an internal policing. Mm-hmm. There's an inner conviction.
Yeah.
There's an inner compass that directs you out of choppy waters and almost inspires you to, whether it's fear of failure, fear of being embarrassed, or just directly driven to succeed. You had this as an athlete.
Yep.
I had this when I got as a broadcaster. I don't know how I'm going to get to where I'm going to get, but damn it, I'm getting there. And if I'm working with people who are lazy, then I can't work with you. And I know that you have the same mentality
no
when you were coming up with the Giants.
Of course.
If you don't want to practice hard, we ain't winning, and you won't be here, but I will.
Yeah.
And it might not work, because you do need some of that internal DNA. But I like this. This is a little old school, and I think a little old school still works. I like it. 855-212, with the new school drama, of course. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, what do you think? Is this irreparable? I mean, is this done? Is this just pie in the sky, not going to work, never going to work, or do you like Jimmy's approach? If this was your team and a veteran who's really good took the young bucks to task and, you know, kind of showed them this is the way it needs to get done, do you think that this could work? Do you like this approach by Jimmy? Get inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Danny Werfel coming up in hour number two. You guys either win tonight or the season's over. Let's just call it for what it is for Tiki's Giants.
Right. But if they win, yeah, they have as many wins as anybody else in the NFC East.
It is a monster game, and I have no idea what's going to happen, but we'll get to it all on a busy Thursday show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So I was able to stave off. This was a last-second intervention, Teak. Now, you remember a couple of years, we got to these calls about Jimmy Butler, a couple of years back before my daughter was born, before Kinsey was born.
Yep.
Jen was Princess Leia. I was Darth Vader. Colton right. was Little Yoda.
That was your badass.
That was great.
That was your badass Halloween.
I lost control of the wheel ever since. I went from being Darth Vader to being the Tin Man. To being
That's not cool.
To being Big Bird last year.
Yeah, that was. You do it for the kids.
You do what you got to do for the kids. For the kids. There's no question. You do it, but yeah, Darth Vader was actually fun.
Yeah, you're not badass.
No.
You're not walking on the street like, come on, kid, what you got?
Do the exact opposite. He's strutting along and look like a big yellow weirdo. So then Jen says last week, what if we all get decked out at Frozen? I'm like, Frozen. All right, now we draw the line. I love Frozen. I love watching it with Kinsley.
I'm trying to think, who would you be?
It's great.
Who would you
Olaf.
Be? Oh, come
you
on.
Be that? I said, there is not a chance in hell that I'm getting dressed up as Olaf. There's
about
no
Sven.
Chance.
Sven.
Dude, I was Maui for her birthday. Now you want to, I mean, enough
well,
with
Maui's
the costumes.
Maui's kind of cool.
It was great.
Yeah.
I don't want to get dressed up as a snowman on Halloween. So I stayed that off, and Colton is going to be Batman, and I'm going to be his Robin.
It'll be waiting for you when you get home.
But even then, I'm Robin. Yeah. I'm not even Batman.
I know, but it'll be, but
it'll be waiting for me
when you get home. Yeah. I'm going to be a wizard this year, by the way.
Are you?
A wizard.
Really?
Me and my Harry Potter love.
You know, you say wizard, I could say the Grand Wizard, the 1970s wrestling fame, the old manager.
Oh, Grand Wizard. I think you're thinking of the...
Get Ian on the phone. We'll talk some old school WWF here. So I just showed Tiki the uniform the Giants are wearing tonight are
love
sweet.
Them. Badass. Those were my first uniforms.
Your rookie season,
my
right?
My rookie season. I think my first two seasons, that was the uniforms. And then they changed up to what is now, but...
They're great.
I loved it when they changed it. Yeah. I actually love the old school now.
They look so good.
I look
Yanks,
sweet.
Yanks. The Giants are going white. And right now the Giants.
White, blue stripes, blue and red stripes.
Yep.
It's great.
It's a good look. Giants are plus one. So a lot of the sharp money has been coming in on the Giants here. And I tweeted this out. I'm like, listen, you want some action? You want to sweat? You want to get a little bet just to enjoy the game more tonight? I get it. I don't know how you bet this game with any sort of confidence.
No, too many injuries on the Eagles side. Yep. Too much inconsistency on the Giants side.
Very well said. All right, let's get these calls on Butler. John's in Minnesota. He's probably got an interesting view with us all. John is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, John? How are you today?
How are you guys doing? Hey, Jimmy Butler's exactly right. Those two are two weak little crybabies that they want to play Fortnite all the time in the offseason and during the season. And he's exactly right. And Tom Thibodeau, he doesn't know that it's 2018. He still thinks it's 1990. And we've got the worst owner of any sport. And
why is he the worst?
Taylor, man.
Yeah,
why?
What
is he the worst?
What does he do? Or what does he not do?
Who?
Glenn Taylor, your owner.
He didn't care for about 15 years. He missed the playoffs for 15 years. He didn't bring anybody in. He just wanted to make money.
He drafted well, though. That was the only thing.
And he spent some money as well. I mean, John, let me ask you a question. Before this came out with Butler, and I want to actually answer this, John, as a Timberwolves fan in Minnesota, because I could drop numbers. Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns, PER, basically 25, 12, 13 rebounds a game, 22 points a night, whatever. Good free throw shooter. We know the numbers. But before Jimmy Butler said, in essence, that these guys are soft, did you actually think Carl Anthony Towns was soft?
Well, I mean, when it comes to guarding the premier guys, he just gets backed down.
Such as?
Kind of soft.
Who are the premier big guys, though? There are none besides him and Joel Embiid. Who else?
Him and Capella just made him look like a sorry, you know what?
Oh, yeah. Come on. First of all, Capella's 7 years older. Thanks for the call, John, roughly.
So that's part of it, though. I think part of the
Capella.
Well, part of the issue is we expect these kids, because they're kids, to come in and play a grown man's game.
Mm-hmm.
And it just physically not ready to do it.
He's 22.
I know. I'm talking about, like, when he first came in, when he won Rookie of the Year. Like, we expect him to come in and play this grown man's game, and it's just it's not physically possible mm-hmm. for them to do that. But as they get a couple of years in, like he is now,
yep.
he should have adjusted to it. And so that's probably where this disconnect is coming from, why Jimmy Butler looks at him and saying, yeah, I know you're young. You're 23 years old. 22. How old is he? He's 23. He's 22 years. But he's been in the league for 3 years,
this
BT.
This will be year number four.
So this will be his fourth year. Mm-hmm. At some point, you figure it out, right? You figure out that, you know, being soft doesn't make – not that I'm saying he's soft, but being soft doesn't make you respected – doesn't get respect in this league. You mm-hmm. got to have a toughness about you.
Sure. But I don't think I think that he plays with a toughness. There's different types of toughness. Mm-hmm. There's the outward, like the visceral, you know, overt, like, yeah, yeah. like
Look,
that rah-rah.
I'm not in that locker room. Tough. There's obviously something he's talking about that's not visible
I guess. And listen,
to
he,
the fan.
Well, I think a lot of it was he was very withdrawn during the playoffs. Remember that? Wasn't taking a lot of shots. He did not play well at all. He got called out for it. That's fine. He's also, as I said, 22 years of age. He's played 250 NBA games. He's averaging 22 points, 12 rebounds.
Yeah, but
okay.
BK, but
he's shooting 84% from the free throw line, and he's 7'1".
Yeah, agreed. But at some point, but there's a look, like there's a feel that you see when you look at guys, like someone who gets into the postseason and it's and their motion or their outward, I don't know,
like
persona.
Demeanor
is I'm taking this.
Sure,
right?
I would agree with that.
I'm taking this to you.
Yeah.
I know you got me here on the block, but I'm taking this to you, period.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And he didn't show that last.
Give the kid let him get his playoff legs under him. There's a different intensity.
I don't disagree.
Let me ask you this. When we watch Klay Thompson play basketball, mm-hmm. do you really, now we know he plays with an inward fire and an intense motivation to be great.
It's different.
It's different, it's but different. Is it really different?
It's different.
About outward projection.
Well,
at least with talent,
his,
it seems like
his
it's that
outward
way.
Projection, talking about Klay,
uh-huh.
is dagger after dagger. He scored 38 freaking points in a quarter.
This kid's averaging 22 and 13. He's 22 years old.
I'm talking about Klay Thompson. Scored 38 points in a quarter, right?
There is a
calmness about him that he has to have because he's a shooter. Karl Anthony Towns is not that. Right, you just said it. He's 7-footer, right? 7-footers need to be like Joel Embiid, like dominant.
But what, misses 50 games a year? Let's be just like Joel Embiid.
But you know what,
Embiid?
I'm talking about persona.
Well, that's your franchise.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his persona.
But it's not a great example when the guy never plays. He's been hurt four times. I'll take Karl Anthony Towns tomorrow.
He played a lot.
Embiid.
He played a lot last year. BT.
Listen, I think Embiid is a little bit better, and mm-hmm. I think Embiid's motor is discernibly stronger.
Okay, his attitude.
But I don't know if he's going to play 70 games next season.
His attitude in the locker room. I'm not even talking about how many games they actually play. His attitude in the locker room. Who do you want, Karl Anthony Towns, or do you want Joel Embiid?
Look, can I think about this for 2 seconds?
Yeah, please.
I want to give you the right answer.
It's just an opinion. There's no right answer.
Well, I mean, like for me, I want to I've never been asked that question. I want to actually formulate through the psyche of each player. I don't love. There's an aloofness with Embiid, okay, but there's also, for lack of a better word, a strangeness, like a need to be in centrally on the minds of fans with social media. And that bothers me.
Yeah,
like he's just kind of a goofball.
Yeah, but in a kind of vicious way too, though.
All right,
right.
Well,
it's
when you win championships, you can say you're goofy, vicious, and it works. I mean, he's won nothing so far.
Neither one of them have won anything.
I understand that.
So they're both young. They're both on young teams.
I guess what I'm saying is I would take the more cerebral, steady hand, which at least for me appears to be Towns, than the player who's a little erratic. Again, it's too strong. I mm-hmm. think Embiid's a good kid, but a little colors outside the line. It's an unfair. I don't want to mischaracterize him because he's not. When he leaves the arena, I don't worry about Embiid getting in trouble. I'm not trying to imply that at all.
No.
He's a good kid. But I feel like there's just a day-to-day calmness
he's,
with Towns.
He's quirky.
That is an asset.
Yes, and that calmness sometimes on game day shows up as passivity. And nobody wants that.
I guess it could.
I'm just saying, you're playing basketball, right? Jimmy, think about what basketball is. When you go up to Rucker Park here, we always talk about it, right? And these guys who are just, they're hooping. That's what Jimmy Butler was talking. It's what he said in the Rachel Nichols interview. It's like, when I start hooping, I get emotional. That's what a lot of the alphas in the NBA are all about.
Sure.
Right? That's all they care about.
Historically, no doubt.
KG was that way. You know, Magic Bird, is that way.
Jordan,
Kobe
Isaiah
is that
Thomas,
way.
Kobe.
They're all that
100%.
Way. Now, of those two guys that I just mentioned, Karl Anthony Towns or Joel Embiid, which one is most likely to become that?
The alpha.
Yes.
It would be Embiid.
Thank you.
But let me ask you this. Was Hakeem Olajuwon the alpha?
Yeah, but Hakeem was...
The answer is no, because it was Vernon Maxwell. It was Kenny Smith. He was not.
Yeah, but
still. I mean, sometimes there's an understated
grace. It's a different game, though, now.
Is it really? Still got to put the ball in the hole?
Yeah.
I mean, still got to be efficient.
For a big man, it's different.
Really? I think back then, if anything, you had to be more aggressive then.
No, I don't think
back
so.
Back then, otherwise you get eaten alive by Ewing, by all these big,
Until you dream shake them and you up and under them and they're sitting there holding their jock at the top of the lane while you're at the rim.
Most underrated player in the history of the NBA.
Telling you,
don't
dude.
Have to be. I'll sing Hakeem's praises. I mean, he was just unbelievable. I guess my main point of contention, and again, I'm a Butler fan, and I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But just because Jimmy Butler says it doesn't mean that it's true.
It was true in the postseason.
It was, but Jimmy Butler's also had another locker room in his previous existence that didn't work out well.
Good point.
So maybe it's a little bit of a Jimmy Butler problem,
yeah.
And maybe it is a little bit of a Karl Anthony Towns and a Wiggins problem. Maybe
yes.
It's actually both.
And can Tom Thibodeau figure it out?
He's getting paid a lot, and he better, you know? That's a good guy. I could talk hoops all day. NBA's back. I love it. 855-212-4227. All right, we've got inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a second. We'll get to that. Now, Santa is out, and D-Cell, good questions? Feeling pretty good?
Great questions.
Great questions. Love that positive energy.
Confidence.
No hesitation. All right.
That's Joel Embiid answer right there.
That was good. We'll get to that coming up. Darwin Zook, what's up, buddy? Where
what's
you
happening?
Been? Haven't seen you in a while.
I'm around, you know.
You want to play tight end for the Giants tonight? Discuss
absolutely. Take over for Ingram.
Dude, we need him. Yeah, because Ingram's out.
Yeah,
he
that's
is out.
Right. That's right.
All right, let's get the update from Darwin. Inbounds, out of bounds after that. Here he is. CBS, the Super Bowl season continues with a fantastic doubleheader. First up, an intense AFC North battle when the Steelers collide with Cincinnati. The nasty natty. Try to get the 5-1. Wow. And the NFL's top defense, the Jaguars, off to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. A little chirping out there in Big D. Hearns, the scheme, the play. See what happens. The day kicks off the NFL today, powered by Ram Trucks at 12 Eastern on CBS. JB Coach, Booms, Phil, Nate Dogg, and the entire crew. Jason Lock and Four get you set up for week number 6 around the NFL. Next, at the top of the hour, this is going to be an interesting conversation. Tiki and I have carved this out where... it's a short list, but I think it's a good list, and I think it's an interesting conversation. Which NFL teams entered the 2018 season envisioning stability at quarterback? However, here we are, a little more than a month into the season, they might have to rethink the, you know, just how stable that quarterback position is. There's a couple of ones that really jump out.
Yeah, man.
So we'll get to that. Danny Warfel coming up next hour. Do some college football. Brad Lidge, former closer in the Bigs. MLB Network talks some baseball. And, well, of course, we'll do Giants and Eagles. We'll do that coming up at 5 Eastern, so pretty busy. You ready for inbounds, out of bounds here,
yeah,
Tig?
Yeah, it is. It's a good list that DCL put together.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay, let's go. Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now.
Okay, let's do it. So, according to multiple reports, Cubs star Chris Bryant, who still isn't set to hit free agency until 2022, turned down an extension for the Cubs that was, quote, you imagine turning this money down?
No.
I mean,
it's idiotic, but whatever.
Well north of $200 million, quote. The extension would have made Bryant one of the top 10 highest paid players in the game. Now, super agent Scott Boras, that's why he turned it down, and Bryant have decided to continue to play under year-to-year arbitration. He's 26, and he's seen his numbers dip a little bit over the past couple of seasons, combining for a 2-season total of 125 RBI. This was not a good year for Chris Bryant.
No.
The 2018 season saw only 102 games. He was banged up, wasn't as productive in or out. Bryant will regret turning down the Cubs' contract extension.
Give me some insight here, BT.
Yeah.
A pre-arbitrary signing like this, what kind of discount the players usually take? Is it a big one? Is it
somebody
is it,
like Chris Bryant?
Yeah, is it like so this is what they would give him 4 years from now.
If the Mets would have done something like this with DeGrom a year ago,
yeah,
who didn't have this track record or a little bit older, was a position playing in the minors, I think the Mets maybe could have shaved off 15-18%.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant's getting every penny. Mm. And not just because he's represented by Scott Boras, but because he's won an MVP. He's won a Rookie of the Year, and he's 26.
I think I'm going to say inbounds. He is going to regret this. Now, I know he thinks he's going to get $400 million down the road, but something happened this offseason we saw with free agency and MLB teams not willing to break the bank, not willing to Giancarlo Stanton themselves just to get the sign a big-time player. Now, it's going to happen here and there, but Chris Bryant's been bouncing around. He missed a lot of games with injuries, played 86 games at third base this year, 27 in the outfield, 4 at first base. Like, he's kind of falling into a defensive, I don't know. I don't want to say it's a black hole, but it's an odd space that he's in right now. So I'm going to say inbound for this one, because you get a pre-arbitrary $200 million.
Yeah.
To probably $220, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You're saying no?
Uh-huh.
I think inbounds, man.
As crazy as it sounds, the answer is out of bounds here. Now, the only thing about Chris, people need to understand, he played in college, so he didn't come right from high school, so he's not a kid. He's, you know, 26, and but you look at his frame, 6'5", he's got lean muscle, he's got easy power, he's got easy opposite field power, he's got quick hands, he's got quick feet. I remember playing the World Series where he actually tagged up from third base on a little pop-up to short center field, caught by the shortstop, I believe. Like, his instincts, he's a baseball player. The answer is out of bounds. While I am I'm very aware and a little concerned that he's never going to be the 310, 320, 325 hitter people maybe thought he would become. He's never shown that penchant. His assets will always play, and he will get paid a lot more than $200 million. So it seems reckless, but when you see the next check, that big check that he gets, you'll change your answer.
Watch out for them shoulders and hip injuries that he's been bothering him. He was here. He was in studio.
Yeah.
He had his girl.
We basically forced him to get engaged.
Basically.
Remember that?
When are you marrying her?
Yeah.
How long have you been together? A long time. When are you marrying her?
Wait, you're not going to pin this on her, are you?
No.
Oh, I'm just
asking. No, we were putting it on him.
No, I'm saying his little swoon. You're not going to pin that on her.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, me neither.
Not at all.
You sure?
I mean no, I don't know what they did on their honeymoon.
Listen, what she's doing, she's picking him up, and she's getting him ready,
right,
like every great woman does, to come out and kick ass in 2019.
But I'm sure she didn't say, yeah, honey, turn down $200 million. We don't need that cash.
I hear you. It's a lot of money.
Are you in or are you out?
College football. Georgia takes on LSU. SEC game of the week. This will be great. So the number 2 ranked Bulldogs look to stay unbeaten in the college football playoff picture, while Coach O and company look to avoid back-to-back trip-ups after losing last week to Florida. This game's more important to LSU than Georgia.
Yeah, definitely more important to LSU. I'm saying inbounds here, BT, because Florida's is okay, but they're not a team that LSU should have lost to after some of the successes that they had earlier in the season. Georgia, I mean, we know where they are. They're continually being the conversation. But this is for Coach Ogeron at LSU. We talked about this often. They can't find the quarterback. This seemed the season where they were going to be successful. Despite that, losing to Florida was a big, you know, black spot on this start to this great season.
Yeah, they dropped 8 spots in the top 25.
I mean, hugely. So people didn't really believe. So this is huge for LSU. Inbounds, definitely.
I say out of bounds. Only, but I have to preface it with, I don't believe in LSU.
Hmm.
So I attach the urgency on the team that I think has a chance to win the championship, or at least if they're properly seated, get to the championship and lose to Alabama. And that would be Georgia. And, you know, Georgia, like, I just look at the viability of the teams that are at the top. Like, obviously, Alabama, they're the best by far.
With or without Tua this weekend.
True.
He's going to play.
A little bit banged up, but he'll be fine. Georgia's terrific. Ohio State's undefeated. Clemson's great. They're undefeated. Notre Dame, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, and we were right. Notre Dame has a real chance to win a championship. I'd have to study, or at least be amongst the Final Four. I'd have to study West Virginia's metrics a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, we know about the Big 12 last couple of years, but I want to
see
before I
actually say that. We like Greer. He's a good quarterback, big arm, but still, I hear you.
I'll leave the door a little ajar for Washington. Penn State lost to Ohio State. The bottom line is this. There's only a handful of teams that could actually win the championship, and Georgia right now is one of them. So if they lose this weekend, not that it takes them out of the hunt, clearly, but they lose that wiggle, because then they can't lose again.
Yeah.
So I think the answer is for Georgia.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so the Chiefs take their unbeaten record of Foxborough to Sunday night to take on Tom Brady and the Pats. Medifield could be an AFC Championship preview. Going into last week against the Jaguars, Chiefs wideout Tyreek Hill didn't go under a whole lot of praise from Jalen Ramsey. We know this. Ramsey wouldn't even acknowledge him as a wideout. Basically said he's a return guy, which is what he said. However, this week, Pats quarterback Stephon Gilmore isn't taking any shots at Tyreek Hill. Instead, when he was asked about Ramsey's comments on Tyreek Hill on a local Boston radio station, Gilmore said, quote, it's a long, long, long sentence here, D-Cell. I'll tighten this up next time. A lot of guys that talk are mostly zone guys, so they have a lot of energy to do that, end quote. In or out? Gilmore's comments on Ramsey are in or out?
Hey, man, those are inbounds. If Jalen Ramsey wants to talk trash, then you know what? So can other people talk trash about Jalen Ramsey. Stephon Gilmore, I think, is making a point that some people are starting to notice. Jaguars don't always travel Jalen Ramsey. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you're going to be an Odell Beckham Jr. the whole game. You're going to shut him down.
No, you're not.
Yeah, no, you're not. A.J. Boye was on him just as many times as you were. The same thing if he said last week, even though he did do well against Tyreek Hill. He got past him. Tyreek got past him one time. But I think this is inbounds, man. It's all fair game. I love this coming out in the National Football League. I said it when Jalen Ramsey was talking trash about everybody else. Stephon Gilmore, he can do the same thing about Jalen Ramsey.
Inbounds, and you probably say the same thing about Josh Norman. Remember when he first started popping with Carolina?
Exactly.
He got the big deal with the Redskins. He has not played well, and a lot of people say the same thing about him.
Last week for a couple plays.
He was bad.
He was horrible.
He was terrible, actually.
Granted, Drew Brees was exceptional.
I hear you, but he was embarrassed.
I agree.
Like, professionally, he looked substandard.
I agree.
I mean, and he's supposed to be at least one of the, at this point, seven best in the game.
Yeah.
Not top three anymore, but
I mean, a couple years ago, he was.
A couple years ago, for sure.
I mean, he was like, the quarterback rating against was number one in the NFL.
2018.
It's true.
Top seven corner, roughly.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think it's fun. You know, if you're going to talk that smack and somebody's going to flip it on you, it's all good. And Gilmore's take is right because they see it. They watch film. They know the game. But he does play some zone. He doesn't. It's not Darrell Reeves going from, you know, Marvin Harrison to, you know, Randy Moss to all the great receivers that he just went. Where they went, he went. Not the same way with him. So I get it.
Are you in or are you out?
Klay Thompson, born in L.A., and his pops, who we've had on the show a few times, Michael, played for the Lakers. And so before last night's preseason game in Las Vegas against the Lakers, Klay was asked about what it's like to see LeBron in the purple and gold. Quote, I think it's pretty cool. I don't think he would have guessed it when he was with the Cavs when he started his rookie season, but it's brought a lot of interest to the league, and the Lakers are about to get the usual media coverage that I was used to growing up. End quote. In or out? Klay Thompson saying it's cool to see LeBron in a Lakers jersey is in or out?
I think this is inbounds, BT, because for so many years, at least the last few years, 4 or 5 years, in the Western Conference, it's been all about the Golden State Warriors and the attention that's drawn to them. They're the ones with the targets on their chest because of their championship viability and championship rings, really, and their consistent viability. Now, Klay Thompson is kind of just throwing some attention down the state. To the Lakers. I love this. He's deflecting from his Warriors' penchant of getting to the postseason and winning to the Lakers, even if they don't have a chance this year to get to the postseason and win.
Yeah, I like it as well. I agree. I say inbounds here. It's a broader view on the league. It's a broader view on the league, and I'm okay with that. You know, we all know what LeBron means. So to defuse that or ignore that is foolish. You may as well embrace it.
Yep.
Listen, they're going to be played out on the court. Media attention's one thing. I like this. Klay Thompson's dad played in the league. There's a three-decade thread. Got no beef with this. I'm cool with it as well.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so we know the Ryder Cup was a disaster this year for us, both on and off the course. There was a report that surfaced good buddies Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson nearly came to blows, and that Paulina was on some level involved in this. Not in the way that you would think, but whatever happened. No, we still really don't know.
Yeah.
Koepka denied the reports, and after being named the PGA Tour Player of the Year by his peers yesterday, he appeared in a video with DJ poking fun at the drama with the Jack Nicklaus Trophy prop between the two stars.
Hey, man, I don't want anything to ever come between us.
It's just the Jack Nicklaus Trophy. Congratulations, you won Player of the Year.
Thanks, bud.
You know I got one of these, too.
Yeah, well, this bad boy's mine.
It's the worst acting I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that's worse than, like, terrible 1970s porn acting. Good God, that's atrocious. Wow. Let's skip the dialogue, boys. Let's just keep the trophy in between you. So
he was done on a cell phone. Like,
what the hell was that?
Like the bathroom or something.
Wow. The Koepka DJ drama was blown out of proportion.
I think this is inbounds. I think it was blown a little bit out of performance, out of proportion.
Proportion. I disagree.
What?
I think it was on point. I think there was something that went awry, but I also think that these guys are good enough buddies to bury the hatchet. Sometimes things get off the rails with your best friend.
Yes, that therefore.
Doesn't mean that there wasn't something there for a second.
Out of proportion, that it was a big deal.
I guess if you want to interpret it that way. But as long as they're buddies now, when they get out there, and hopefully next Ryder Cup, they get their act together. Or at least by the President's Cup, right? All right, 1 hour in the books. So which NFL teams thought they had a grip on the quarterback position, but right now, as they reassess, they realize they might not. That's next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.